Hear that? It's the sound of you catching up on all the latest and greatest fintech news, trends, and updates thanks to Streetworthy, Yield Street's bi-weekly newsletter. Stay in the know with CEO Milind Mahiri as he takes a closer look at what's happening in the fintech space, then breaks down what each story could mean for investors like you. Give your portfolio the edge it deserves and subscribe to Streetworthy on LinkedIn today.
Welcome to The Yield, the official podcast of Yield Street. Every week, we bring you the latest market insights across our asset classes and products from subject matter experts. Our aim is to break the outdated mold of investing and help you add financial fuel to your ambitions through innovative investing products and strategies typically unavailable to most investors. Realize your next level with The Yield. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The views you are about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of Yield Street. This podcast is intended to be strictly informational and is not intended to be and should not be construed as a research report, investment advice, or the offer or sale of securities or any investment product. Now, let's get into the show.
Welcome, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. Another Yield Street webinar that should be informative for you. Be sure to visit www.yieldstreet.com to learn more about our offerings and sign up to receive the latest updates on our webinars and market updates. If you're an originator, be sure to check out through the Raise Capital page or reach out to our originations team at originations@yieldstreet.com. We'll be answering questions for the final 10 minutes. This will go about 45 minutes, and you should have plenty of time to get your questions in. Hopefully, we'll have some opportunity to answer those for you. So I am Joe DiDomenico, the Director of Retirement Services here at Yield Street. And I joined the company last year when my retirement administration company was acquired by Yield Street last year. And we've produced a seamless way for our investors to use their IRA to make alternative investments. So I'm not an investment professional, but rather I'm more in the background creating the tools that people need to make investments with their IRA account. And then we've got Tim Berry, a tax attorney specializing in self-directed IRAs for the last 20 years. And Tim and I have worked together on a number of projects over the years. So let's just get started. And, you know, I just want to put it out there to people that you maybe haven't heard much about using your IRA to invest in alternative and private investments. And you're not alone. The reason most people have not heard of this is because most people haven't done it. Less than 2% of all IRA assets are in retirement accounts that are in alternative investments. So there is not a lot of information put out about it, and we'll talk a little bit about why that is. So Tim, why don't we start off with you talking a little bit about why that's the case?
Oh, why is that the case? Gosh, well, it goes back to what you said. Few people have heard of it. Most people, whenever you mention the word IRA or phrase IRA to them, they think, oh gosh, I've got to run down to the brokerage house and I've got to set up an account and I'm going to buy my stocks, bonds, whatever. But what the people don't realize is inside the tax code, the thing that actually creates these IRAs, it says an IRA is a trust. And the mind blower is, if you stop and think about it, if an IRA is a trust, it can pretty much do anything that any other trust can do. So we got all these people out there, I'm sure, watching who have trusts. They got the revocable living trust. They probably buy and sell real estate inside those things. Guess what? If your revocable living trust can do it, your IRA can do the same thing. So that's the big mind blower to me about IRAs is, at the end of the day, all they are is trusts, and going even further, they're tax exempt trusts. You don't got to pay taxes in them if you do things right. So
right.
And then why don't people hear more about this? I mean, stop and think about it. Where do most of us get our financial information from? They might watch some financial TV show. They might watch a commercial on the Super Bowl. Who knows? But most of the time, it's not from people providing alternative investments. So therefore, there's no vested interest for a lot of these people to get that information.
Right. And if you look at the tax code in the simple publication 590, which is, I think, 90 or maybe 100 pages long, it's written in layman's language, it doesn't even talk about stocks and bonds and mutual funds or brokerages or banks or insurance companies or real estate or precious metals. It basically just lists out the few things that you can't invest in, which are, it's a small number of things that you can't buy collectibles. They figure you're just going to buy a bunch of wine and drink it, and that's not really an investment. You aren't able to purchase life insurance because the spirit of the code is really for you to invest for your retirement. So if there's an arm's length from you as an individual with the transactions, and if the investment is for your retirement, you could probably do it. So let me ask you a question. With retirement plans that invest in alternative investments, why do people end up reaching out to somebody like you for their IRA and private investments? And before you answer, let me just say that all of the investments that you can purchase with your IRA at Yield Street are permissible allowed investments. So people who are just going to Yield Street and open up an IRA and buying Yield Street investments that are alternative, we don't need an attorney. We don't need to scrub that for permissibility. But what happens that people need to reach out to you?
Well, I hate to even tell you, Joe. The reason why people reach out to me is they've messed up. I think the legal term is they've screwed the pooch. So now they're looking at a little love letter from the IRS, and then they madly search on the internet and they get my stuff that comes up on the internet. But whenever they've messed up, they come to me, and that's kind of a little weird segue here. The really cool thing about self-directed IRAs is really 99% of the time, people don't need an attorney. I mean, that's why I'm starving. That's why I can't afford a sport coat or a suit today. 99% of the time, people don't need an attorney. It's very simple. It's very easy. You guys have made it very seamless. So most of the time, attorney isn't needed. It's just whenever they do something wrong is whenever my phone rings and I'm able to start sending out the invoices.
Right. There has not really been an easy solution for people up until just recently with Yield Street's new release of our IRA account. And I'll just talk about that for just a minute. Our program allows you to utilize the ACAT system. And we're the first company of our type to do this. The ACAT system is a system set up by the Depository Trust Company that all the banks, insurance companies, brokerage firms, they use to transfer IRA accounts and taxable brokerage accounts back and forth. It just takes a few days. It's electronic and it's very accurate. There is an entire self-directed IRA industry out there. You've worked with a lot of these custodians. Describe the trust company situation out there that's there today.
I don't know if I'm allowed to use that language, Joe. well, it's a really, it's a big mess right now, quite honestly. Because what you have is you have the big wirehouses who most people go to for their IRAs. And then you have various other trust companies. And those trust companies, typically, they're not charging any commission on investments or what have you. They just charge their annual fees. And you set up your account with them, and it's now self-directed. But then if you want to make an investment, you got to fill out their paperwork, jump through their hurdles, go through their compliance office. And one compliance office might say yes, another one might say no. So it's really weird with all the different custodians out there and their different requirements. And other thing is, they might have a delay. Let's say you want to do a deal fast. They might have a delay of a week, 2 weeks of some deal. So you may not get into it of gaining access to your own money that way. So that's why, not to kiss up to you too much, Joe. That's the great thing you guys got is it's a seamless system. You give them checkbook control, don't you?
That's right. They get direct checkbook control in that you can use your IRA at Yield Street to log on to Yield Street. You put in your account number of your Merrill or Fidelity account, and then you put in the dollar amount you like transferred. And we go in through the ACAT system and we collect the funds direct custodian to custodian. So these are non-taxable events, non-reportable events as well. And we pull the money in a few days. The old way, even when Yield Street first purchased Wealthflex back last November, we weren't part of the ACAT system yet. So Wealthflex was doing system much like the organizations that you have worked with in the past, where an LLC is created or a trust is created. A trust company custodian will help you transfer in non-ACATs. These are paper forms. Some of them literally faxed in to the non-ACAT department of a brokerage or bank, and then collect the funds. And a few weeks later, you're ready to open up a bank account. At Wealthflex, what we did is we had people go down to a Wells Fargo branch, open up a bank account for their trust we set up for them. And then we would have the outside trust company collect the money from the old custodian, a losing custodian, and transfer it in the bank account and give you literally checkbook control. What we do now is that the funds go into the account direct from the losing custodian into a bank account that we have already set up for you on our system. So just a few days later, the cash is there. Now, you can only purchase Yield Street investments right now. We're looking to down the road possibly change that. But tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've seen people purchase with their IRA accounts when they have direct checkbook control like that.
Gosh, I've seen the whole gamut of what people have purchased. We've got people, an old-time favorite's real estate. A lot of people are purchasing real estate. A lot of people are doing hard money loans where their retirement plan will make a loan over to someone else to purchase the real estate. A lot of time they're just knocking that out of the ballpark. Other time people do tax lien certificates. There's just a whole host of investments. And I got to tell you, another cool thing of the so-called checkbook control IRA is that the custodian doesn't know exactly what you're doing. And I don't say this to sound shifty or anything. It's just that some of the custodians go overboard. I mean, stop and think about it. An attorney going overboard, you know, they're running the compliance departments. Right. But yeah. We've literally had situations where a compliance department has told a client, hey, you don't have a checkbook IRA. We know exactly what you're doing. And we believe that you've done something wrong. So we're going to tell the IRS to treat your entire IRA of $500,000, $600,000 as fully taxable. And they're thinking, what? We did nothing
wrong.
Holy
smokes.
Yeah, but now the custodian takes it upon themselves to do that. So in my opinion, once again, we're not advocating anything shady or whatever, but I don't want somebody trying to tell me what I am or am not doing is wrong. And then without my permission, running off and telling the IRS to hit me with a tax bill of a few hundred thousand dollars.
You can help people get out of that mess, though, can't you?
Oh, yeah. We help them get out of it because then we just explain to the custodian why that was done, what was the rationale, et cetera, so forth. Mm-hmm. But and then, you know, the custodian backs off. But got to tell you, that ruins someone's whole day whenever they lose, you know, a couple hundred thousand potentially.
Yeah, they send you a 1099-R in the mail that says, here's your taxable event. Oh, yeah, we told the IRS, add that to your income.
Exactly. Hey, what are you supposed to do?
No,
order another beer? You can't even go to a bar nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So sometimes people will go to you for when they're buying an asset and they're borrowing with their IRA account. Tell me about that a little bit.
That's a great thing you brought up, Joe, because that's just a total mind blower. Here's the cool thing. Let's say you set up your IRA, and let's say it's a Roth IRA, and you put 1 cent inside that Roth IRA.
I can do that. I could come up with 1 penny. We're talking my language.
I am. I can't even do that. I mean, it's that life I lead. But here's the thing. You put that 1 cent inside the Roth IRA. And now let's say that you know somebody incredibly foolish, but incredibly rich at the same time. And they make a loan of, let's say, $1 million to your Roth IRA. Your Roth IRA all of a sudden has $1 million in it. Now, if that loan's for, let's say, 5%, and you can invest that money to generate 15%, and by the way, guys, I got to throw out the, you know, thing, no guarantees, no, you know, saying you can make $500 trillion next week. But if you can invest and outperform the loan interest that you're paying back to this rich and stupid person, that excess money stays inside your Roth. Now, there's probably some CPAs jumping up and down and saying, hold it, hold it. If your IRA goes out and borrows money, it has to pay taxes on the profits generated. And there's a fancy legal phrase, it's called UBIT. And that's right. In some situations, IRAs have to pay taxes on the profits generated inside of them. But if you know
what it sounds fair, because you weren't really using your IRA's money to make the investment, using 1 penny and then somebody else's money to make that investment. And then you make all this money and you're feeling like it's going to be tax-free to you, but it's not.
It's not unless you know somebody who knows how to do things right, because there's all sorts of interesting ways that you can effectively get the use of that $1 million, make a bunch, have it grow tax-free so it's not subject to UBIT, give that other person their reasonable rate of return for the use of the money, and now you can be skipping down the lane happy knowing that you made some decent money inside of your Roth account. So
right.
Simple thing is, people don't feel like you're limited to the money inside your IRA. If you do things right, if you know the right people, your IRA can borrow money. There's a lot of banks, you know this, Joe. there's a lot of banks out there that are willing to loan people on their IRAs too.
Right. We're talking about Roth IRAs. We had a good question come up from Mr. Moore. When investing in liquid investments in an IRA, is it possible to invest your traditional IRA, then convert it to a Roth?
Absolutely.
Maybe even discount the value because it's worth less just because it's in your IRA. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, that goes back to your former life, doesn't it, Joe?
A little bit.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing, is if you have these assets inside your IRA and they're illiquid, and also the IRA has all sorts of rules and controls on it, that asset that theoretically is worth $100,000, it might only be worth $70,000 due to the various legal limitations. So now whenever you convert it over to the Roth, tax code says you have to pay taxes on the fair market value of the asset distributed. What's the fair market value? Well, if it has these legal requirements on it, fair market value drops down to $70,000 as opposed to $100,000, and you just saved a couple pennies.
Right. So that's a constraint with borrowing money. You may have to pay income taxes on that leverage portion of the gains. Talk a little bit about the arm's length for self-dealing and what your IRA can't do business with certain entities, and how does that work?
There's a section of the code called the prohibited transactions rules. And these prohibited transactions say that your IRA cannot engage in a transaction with either your parents, your kids, your spouse, or any business entities owned by those people. And that's just a vast overgeneralization. But in my way of looking at things, what's the population of America now? About 300 million, I think?
330, yeah.
Yeah, 330. Between me and you, my parents, okay, I've got one surviving parent. I've got the spouse, and I've got, I don't even know how many kids, three kids. So that's five people I can't do these deals with. That's not a deal for me. As long as some of the other 299,995,000 blah, 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 blah are out there that do deals, play ball. There's all sorts of deals out there waiting for me. So general rule, once again, your IRA can't engage in a transaction with anybody considered related to you. And they know my family pretty well because they don't consider siblings related. They just consider parents, spouse, and kids. And once again, this is a vast overgeneralization. Kids, don't try this at home. Talk to your advisor about the prerequisites, blah, 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 blah.
And to add a little color on why siblings are okay and cousins are okay, it's the lateral part that the government doesn't mind the deals between lateral family. What they're concerned about is assets being passed down from generation to generation and not having to pay the unified gift tax or having to pay estate taxes on death. The easiest people to tax are dead people. So they can't have all those assets leave the estate by dad having a building in his IRA with $1 million, and then the son purchases that building for $100. Instead of having to police those transactions, they just say, well, you can't work with lineal ascendants and lineal descendants, but lateral-wise, we're going to allow it. Because then those people, your brother's going to have the same problem. He's got an asset there, it's got to transfer down, and they feel they're going to get their money one day.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And then I noticed that with rental properties, sometimes people buy a rental property and they want to rent it out to their parents or rent that house out to their kids, and that's going to be off limits too, right?
Yeah, they can't engage in any transaction with anyone related to them. So if they rent out that property to the parents, well, that's considered a transaction. They get in trouble. The IRA is considered fully distributed. It's a disaster. Now, here's the thing, Joe. I've had some very intelligent clients, and I had this one guy. He put his rental property inside of an LLC owned by his IRA. And then what he did is he distributed that property out of his, he distributed the LLC out of his IRA. And then it was a little beach condo. They enjoyed it, had, you know, fun in the sun for 59 days. And then on the 60th day, they put that LLC right back into the IRA. So they did something called a rollover transaction. And so during those 60 days, they were able to use that property because it wasn't owned by the IRA. And then before the end of 60 days, they threw it back in there.
And but you get one of those a year, right?
You can do one of those a year. But here's the cool thing now with this COVID stuff going on. Theoretically, those people could use that beach condo for a three-year time period. So there's all sorts of interesting stuff you can do under the tax code with IRA accounts.
Right. So we probably have some viewers right now that are watching this and analyzing and thinking about alternative investments in their IRA for the very first time. And it probably is blowing their mind of all the things that are eligible for you to do within your IRA. Let's think about for a minute the large endowments that have billions of dollars in it. When you look at how much is invested in alternatives versus direct investments as compared to marketable securities, stocks, bonds, and managed portfolios, it's more than half is in private stuff. And why are we not seeing that with individuals?
Well, once again, where do people get their information? They're not getting their information from people like you, Joe. They're not getting it from Yield Street. Most of them aren't, at least. The vast majority, they probably get their information from their coworkers over the water fountain or at a barbecue. And they're just not aware of this. And let me have even more fun here. Let's go back to the presidential election. I think it was two cycles back. Good old Romney, Mitt Romney. Yeah. What was the big thing with him and his IRA? Supposedly he had a $100 million plus Roth account. The government back in 2014, they issued a full report saying exactly how people can invest their IRA in founder stock. And now as that takes off and increases in value, that all occurs tax-free inside their IRA. It was, I think, one of the founders of Yelp. He started off with $5,000 and he ended up with over $100 million inside of his Roth account just by playing this game. If they can do it, you can do the exact same thing.
Right. Now, with IRAs, there's also some asset protection things that happen. And you being an attorney, you can talk on that a little bit. Let's hear why people even think about asset protection when it comes to retirement plans.
Sure. The big thing is, why wouldn't they think of asset protection? Because think about it. What was the old phrase about that one guy whenever they asked him about why does he rob the banks?
That's where the money is.
Yeah, that's where the money is.
Right.
Whenever somebody does something stupid or wrong, or maybe is accused of doing something stupid or wrong, and they're hit with a lawsuit, what do the bad guys want to get? The retirement asset. Why? That's where the money is. And right. So luckily, most states have laws that say your IRA is an exempt asset. Therefore, if the bad guys come barreling in and want to take the money away, it's the MC Hammer song. What was his song?
Can't Touch This.
Can't touch.
Da, 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 da. Yeah.
See the dance, Joe. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know about that. People don't want to see that.
You're right. So, no, they can't touch that money. And even if the state doesn't have a law, if things get really bad, the bankruptcy code has a specific section saying your retirement plan is an exempt asset and the bad guys can't touch it. So that's the really cool thing about these IRAs too. They're tax exempt. And they're exempt from the claims of creditors. And you see all these people trying to go offshore to do stupid stuff. And I'm thinking, why even go offshore whenever right here domestically, we've got this really cool thing called an IRA that's tax exempt and isn't subject to taxes and isn't subject to claims of creditors. It's a wonderful thing.
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell me more about the people that you've seen lending out of their IRA account. What kind of things are they lending? How are they lending? How are they writing it up? What are the requirements? To record documents and that type of thing?
Well, here's the mind blower. There's really not any requirements. You're allowed, if you have that checkbook control, you can go out there. Now, don't get me wrong, it should be a nice, safe, collateralized loan, and you should have a promissory note, you know, the deed of trust, all that other good stuff, but it's not required by law. What do I see most people doing? Most people are doing the real estate where they'll make a loan and it's collateralized by someone's real estate, so there's a promissory note, and there's a deed of trust. They file at the county recorder's office. Now, if the person doesn't pay the money, the IRA comes in and takes away the property. So we see those. We see stuff all over the place, pretty creative too. We got one group of people who loans money to people who can't afford to make contributions to their 401k, and yet the employer matches it 100%. So this person's getting 100% guaranteed return on their money. So the IRA is making a loan and charging a nice little kicker of interest, but this person over here, the one who borrowed it, doesn't care because they're making 100% on their money already. So There's just so many cool, creative things that you can do with your IRAs and loans and investments.
Right. Well, at Yield Street, all of the requirements are pre-scrubbed. So anything that anybody purchases in their IRA at Yield Street already is an allowed investment. So people don't need to worry about that when it comes to making a investment in a collateralized loan like we have here, Yield Street. But if they were to go outside of that and make other things, they make other loans, it looks like they've got some things to worry about.
Well, yeah, and quite honestly, that's what a number of the phone calls back over to me are. Just today, I've got somebody just sent me an email saying they bought some property and they put the wrong name on title. So they got a challenge there. Mm-hmm. With you guys going through Yield Street, you guys handle all of that is taken care of. So if the person's not so meticulous on their record keeping and keeping title on things, they don't have to worry about that.
Right. Now, I've heard some about precious metals and people buying actual real metal. Have you seen that with any of your clients?
Oh, good gosh. You just had to bring that up, didn't you, Joe? this is going to start World War III. Yeah, some precious metals are allowed to be purchased by your retirement plan. There's certain categories of the precious metals, and American Eagle coins are allowed to be purchased by the retirement plan. Then there's some people want to push it, and they say, hey, can I dig a hole in my backyard and store all the precious metals on behalf of my IRA in the backyard? And that's whenever I say, call up Joe. He'll answer that question.
I don't think they can. The custodian needs to hold the physical metal.
Yeah, they need to have a custodian holding that stuff. So, but can they purchase some precious metals? Answer is absolutely yes, they can. But once you get into the precious metals, just be very careful about it. Because if you buy the wrong stuff, it's considered a distribution of the assets that you put into those precious metals.
Right. What other things have you seen people do with their IRA accounts that maybe people haven't thought about doing?
Well, we got the founder stock. If someone's starting off a small company or they have an opportunity to invest in a small company, they invest in that.
But they can't run the company themselves, right?
They shouldn't run the company themselves while it's owned by the IRA. That's a no-no. We have other things where people are investing. Well, I just had someone the other day, an email list. She has an email list of a bunch of real estate investors owned by her IRA, and she licenses it out to other people. They pay her money based upon the results of this email list, and it all goes back inside of her retirement plan, tax-free. It's a wonderful thing. So, I mean, you're really just limited by your imagination on this stuff, so long as it's not the life insurance, so long as it's not an S corporation, so long as it's not a old 57 Corvette, because that'd be considered a collectible. But once you get past that small subset of things, the world's your oyster. There's just so many incredible things you can invest in. I had one guy just yesterday on this one too. He called me up, and I don't know what to think about if this is allowable or not, but he's a doomsday prepper, and he bought a bunch of guns thinking the guns are going to be jacked up in price later on, and he'll be able to sell them for a higher price. I haven't researched that. I haven't looked into that. Don't know if that's a collectible or not.
Well, but I do know that it must be a legal endeavor for it to qualify as an eligible investment. So if he's buying the guns legally, I can't see how the IRS could say it's not eligible. It's an asset.
Yeah, and he's keeping them, I don't know, vacuum sealed or something because he wants to show the new buyers, you know, whenever the world comes to an end that they're A-OK. But, you know, right. For that matter, oh, and here's a good one too, Joe. In this day and age, I've got a ton of people hopping into the PPE bandwagon. They're doing all sorts of deals with the protective gear for the Corona stuff. So the masks, the garments and all that. So there's all sorts of weird deals going on with those too. So it's fascinating all the different deals that are out there with retirement plans, what they can invest in and what they can do.
Right. Now, the large firms that have had these IRAs for years, they're not really proactive about talking about all the things you can do with your IRA with them and the things that you can't do with them because they are in the business of marketable securities. So the people that most people who have an IRA, I would say 99% of all people who have an IRA account have it with a bank or a brokerage firm or insurance company. They have not seen any notice from those companies that say you could use your IRA for anything alternative. Is there a conspiracy out there? I hate to go that far because I don't believe that there is a conspiracy, but what do you think about just the lack of knowledge of this for just the overall American people on IRAs?
Okay, do we really want to go down this rabbit hole of the conspiracy?
We might as well, yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Can we have some Twilight Zone music playing in the background?
There we go.
So here's the mind blower and talk about lack of knowledge. And first off, I don't think it's conspiracy about why they don't tell people about this. I think it's just self-interest. They don't make a buck by having them go to Yield Street. They don't make a buck by having them buy a single family house. So therefore, they have no vested interest to say anything. But let's talk about their lack of knowledge. And this is just a mind blower. Once again, your IRA cannot engage in a transaction with anybody considered related to you. Now, here's the thing. Whenever little Johnny graduates from college and gets hired by the big brokerage house, who's the first person little Johnny calls to handle their investments? Mom and dad. It says, Mom and dad, I want to handle your investments. And so mom and dad say, okay, little Johnny, here's our money. Now, little Johnny invests that money, including the retirement plan money, and little Johnny gets paid a commission.
Right.
If little Johnny gets paid a commission, that's a big no-no under the tax code. That's a prohibited transaction. So mom and dad's account is fully distributed. So the big brokerage houses, they've got to know about this, but they still do this. And in fact, in many times, they make it a requirement that whenever little Johnny gets a job with them, little Johnny has to move all their portfolios of their household to this brokerage house. And now whenever little Johnny gets paid a commission for trading his own IRA, boom, we've just blown up the whole IRA. So the brokerage houses, it's amazing how they're so knowledgeable about certain things that make them a buck, but they don't know anything about things that might be adverse to their interests. So that's my conspiracy theory for the day.
Right. Well, when you talk about founder stock, we got a question from Mr. Lamont. So ownership of founder stock, how much of it, if you own 1% of it, is it now off limits if you already own the stock?
You can own 100% of it. But the question mark is, are you providing services to that stock? And is that stock providing money or compensation to you? If you are providing services to that stock and or is providing you compensation, your interest, your ownership better be extremely low. I'm saying 5% or maybe even lower. But if it's just a stock where somebody says, hey, Tim, will you be so kind as to invest $100,000 in my new company? Hell, I could own 100% of that thing. There's no limitations whatsoever on that.
Right. And we did get a question, also a follow-up on that. If Yield Street, for example, originates a loan and somebody's got an IRA, but they're related somehow to the organization borrowing the money, are they able to use their IRA to invest in that particular deal? And that's probably something we should take offline because it does get very technical with percentage ownerships and control groups and some other things that we need to consider. And that's definitely when somebody would need to reach out to you and talk to you about their specific situation. Are they allowed to make this particular investment based on the circumstances?
Yeah. It's good that you put it that way too, Joe, because I saw the black helicopter swooping behind you.
And yeah, they're watching us.
Yeah, they are. They all are.
So we've got some other questions here. So is it possible to set up a self-directed IRA after the fact, meaning you already pull the money out of the account? So,
well, here's the thing. If you've got the investment in your personal name, you can't move it into an IRA. That's a no-go. You can't do that. But if you had the investment in an old IRA and then you took it out of that old IRA and we still got 60 days clicking on the clock, or it's been less than 60 days, then we could move that investment into a new IRA. But you can't move assets that you personally already own into your IRA. That gets messy.
And you can only contribute cash to an IRA, correct? You can't contribute an asset like a rental property and try to contribute it to your IRA.
Correct. The only contributions have to be in the form of cash. And that messes up some people too, where they want to go in and renovate their house that's owned by their IRA. They want to swing the hammer. Can't do that. Same thing with the founder stock. I'm the world's greatest genius on business, and I want to put my stock inside the IRA, and then I'm going to contribute my genius, my business genius. Can't do that. That's a no-go. So there's limitations there.
Yeah. We have a question. Will Yield Street allow me to invest into Yield Street investments from an SDIRA with a non-Yield Street custodian? Not anymore, but there's actually no reason to anymore either, because our IRA program is so easy to use. You just open up the IRA and transfer the money in, all with clicks of buttons. And you don't need to fill out investment direction documents to your old custodian and then they send the money to Yield Street. Tim, we had 100 and some, a couple hundred IRAs that were with us before WealthFlex was purchased. And there was 22 different custodians that we had to deal with on those IRA accounts. So every time we had an interest, dividend, return of principal, which on a lot of these notes, they're every single month, you can see how many checks need to be sent to so many different custodians for so many different accounts for different reasons. And the custodian comes back and they ask us, is this a contribution or is this an interest? Is this return of principal? And then there's confusion. So it certainly was not scalable for Yield Street, and it's not scalable really for any other self, like any other private investment organization. It's not scalable unless it's automated. So we're the first company of its kind to automate this process. So this is brand new for us. We're really excited about it. Here's a question from Matt. I have an inherited IRA. It's at Merrill Lynch. Can I use those funds to invest in alternative investments or at Yield Street? What do you think about that, Tim, for inherited IRAs?
I say, sure, bring it on down. And that's the cool thing, too, about the IRAs. And I'll tell you, there's going to be a big thud pretty soon with estate planning and IRAs. There's a lot of money inside IRAs, and there's a lot of attorneys who don't have a clue in hell about how to treat the money inside IRAs. And so they're doing some really stupid stuff, and it's going to end up costing people a lot of money. But there's all sorts of, and especially with some new tax code changes that wiped out the stretch IRAs, but there's some new ways that parents or the people who are going to be moving the money down can structure their estate to get the money down to the kids and save a ton of taxes. So those of you who are about to inherit IRAs, make sure your parents do the proper estate planning for those IRA accounts, because it's going to save you a fortune. And for mom and dad, make sure you do the right estate planning, because your surviving spouse is going to appreciate it, because they're going to get that much more. But as far as can an inherited IRA make these investments, simple answer is yes. They got to do things right, mind you. They can't do a rollover. They're going to have to do a direct transfer of the funds from Merrill Lynch over to you guys, but that's allowable. Just don't, like I said, don't do a rollover. Don't take control of the funds. That's going to blow things up. And there's some other limitations with inherited IRAs. They don't have as much asset protection like what we talked about, Joe, earlier. The Supreme Court came out with a decision saying inherited IRAs don't meet a certain definition in the bankruptcy code. Now, certain states have changed their definition to be compliant with inherited IRAs, but they don't have as much protection, but there's ways to get around that too. But I'm rambling too much. I charge by the word as an attorney. Can an inherited IRA make these investments? Yes.
Okay. We got another question. Isn't art considered a collectible? If that's the case, would we not be able to use our IRA to invest in the artwork portfolio? Our notes are lending on assets. So we will lend in a group to a group of assets, and what Yield Street's investments are the actual loan backed by those assets. So that is different than actually buying a piece of art in your IRA and holding it, because it's true, that is a collectible and it's not allowed in your IRA, but you are able to lend money on an art portfolio. Another question came in here, how long does it take and what does it cost to open up a Yield Street IRA? So it takes less than 10 days to transfer funds in from a custodian that is eligible to participate in ACATS. So any brokerage firm or any major name company that you've heard of most likely will be ACATS eligible. So 10 days is a stretch, most likely just in a few days, transfer your funds in. The costs are anywhere from $2.99 to $3.99 based on how much money you have in the account. If your account right now is over $250,000. We're not charging any fees to open up the account or to fund the account. We don't have any transaction fees. So after you do transfer the account in and you buy Yield Street investments, you can buy any number of them. And we don't have special holding fees or number of account investment fees or anything else that people typically charge. We just charge the annual fee once a year in January for the last year that you had an IRA with us. Let's go through some more questions here. If Yield Street is limited to their offerings, who do I talk to about other assets in my IRA? Probably somebody like you. Do you work with people who want to buy a private investment, same in their IRA, that's not a Yield Street investment?
You know, I don't do investments. I just refer them to people like yourself. I just deal with the legal stuff, the golly gee whiz legal stuff, investments. Talk to a real estate agent or go to a local investment club, and there's probably people looking to borrow money who secure it. So I don't do those so much.
Are you able to set them up with checkbook control for their account?
Oh yeah, we can help people with that, no problem.
Okay. Let's see. More questions on founder stock. After the stocks have vested, can founders sell those stocks to IRA owned by founder, or is it still considered performing services and getting paid to the stock? So after their stock is vesting in their IRA account, are they able to sell it to themselves?
Guys, we're going to have a pop quiz. Are you allowed to have a transaction with your IRA? Can you sell assets to your IRA? You know, it's the old Lost in Space thing, that robot. Danger, danger, danger. We cannot do that.
It'd be too easy to load up your IRA or to pull money out of your IRA. So there's contribution limits to how much you can contribute to a 401k or how much you can contribute to an IRA account. And those are limited. So the whole spirit of the legislation of retirement plans is to help everyday Americans to save for retirement. It's not really there for billionaires to pump $100 million in a single year into a tax-deferred account. That's not really what they're looking to do. Mitt Romney was able to do that. Mostly, he had a company stock that he had purchased within his retirement plan, and that grew up to something very big. And he's just very, very unique. That's unusual to see somebody with a $100 million Roth IRA. Doesn't happen very often at all. He might be the only one, actually. But you're allowed to put in $6,500 into your IRAs, or $7,000 now with a catch-up provision, right? Is that the right amount, Tim, for the 2020 over the 50 years old contribution limit? I believe it's 7,000. After that, you can't contribute more. But if you were able to have your IRA purchase an asset you already own that's worth $10,000, then you would just have your IRA take $100, purchase a $10,000 asset that you already own outside of your IRA. Now it's like you just contributed $9,500 to your IRA account. So instead of having to police those transactions of the fairness of the pricing, there's just no self-dealing at all. Another question, can I transfer my IRA to Yield Street and at that time invest in what Yield Street is offering? Then does that money just go back in my IRA? And does it matter if it's traditional IRA? And the answer to all of that is you can do all that, and that does happen. So you can go ahead and open up a IRA at Yield Street. You go online and invest in an offering, and you select, do you want your taxable account or do you want your IRA to make the investment? And the funds come out of that IRA automatically, and then we will pay interest and return the principal back into that bank account within the IRA, and then you can invest it again. And it could be traditional IRA or it can be Roth IRA. So that is the answer to that. We got the question here, little Johnny example. It's because he gets commissioned, parents' IRA will blow up. So yeah, describe that a little bit. What's wrong with if the broker is collecting a commission on the dad's IRA? That's problematic too?
Yeah, that's a prohibited transaction. In fact, that's straight out of the IRS regulations saying that by a dad allowing his son to make money off of dad's money, the dad is allowing the son to use the income or the assets, the plan for their own benefit, fully taxable event.
Right. Okay, we got a number of other questions, and hopefully we'll be able to engage with you offline and get some of these answered. But let's wrap up the webinar so we keep everybody moving. Last words. So for people looking to make private investments in IRA accounts, what advice can we give them to just help them out? So where do they go to find additional information? And is it a good idea? And just kind of, what are your feelings?
I'm a little bit biased on the whole thing, you know, because this is how I make a living. But I think it's probably the biggest no-brainer on the face of the earth. I do this myself personally. I don't have a single dime in traditional investments. I've got a bunch of dimes in non-traditional investments. I would have it no other way. I've got a lot more control over things. To me, it's just even safer because you're not subject to the guys with Robinhood moving the market in all sorts of stupid directions. You've got the alternative investments that those yahoos don't have control over. So I think it's just an absolute brainer. And I think the best thing you can do is just do it. Just jump in, not with all your money, mind you, but you know, just start off so you get to understand how it works and you get comfortable with it. And once you get comfortable with it, you're going to wonder why you didn't do it a hell of a lot earlier.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's just wrap it up and visit YieldTree.com to learn more about our offerings and come to realize your next level with us. So if you're an originator, looking to borrow money, be sure to click on Raise Capital page or reach out to Originations team at originations@yieldstreet.com. And stay tuned as we release content on a regular basis. Tim, I really appreciate you doing this webinar with us. It's very informative. And stay safe and be healthy.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Yield. For the latest updates on the alternative investing space, go to yieldstreet.com. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, as this will help other investors like yourself find our show. If you have any questions, please visit us at yieldstreet.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week. The Yield Street podcast you just heard only reflects the opinions of the host, who is an associated person of Yield Street, and does not necessarily reflect the views of Yield Street or any of its affiliates or other associates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be and should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of any securities or investment product. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to be and should not be construed as investment advice.
Support for this podcast comes from Yield Street. Trying to time the stock market can lead to regret. At Yield Street, our alternative investments are designed to create predictable secondary income streams, providing you with tools to help put your money to work immediately. These investments in asset classes like art, real estate, and legal finance typically have low correlation with the stock market and target annual yields up to 7 to 10%. Welcome to the next generation of investing. Welcome to Yield Street. Sign up today at yieldstreet.com.